As Father, I thank you this morning that you're going to prosper in our midst, that you are the God of prosperity and the God of increase for my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We're going to open this morning to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. I tell you, I am really feeling it this morning. It feels good in here. I'm glad you brought it with you. Some while back, a few months, we began to talk about the perfection that comes through unity. And that out of that perfection of unity, and we know that when unity is spoken about, it encompasses more than just one dimensional or one facet. It's not just a unity that we have, but it's the unity that we establish with the Father. When Jesus had the unity with the Father, he said, I and the Father are one. Everybody say, he's one. I love that word, one, because it denotes connection. When I'm one with something, I'm connected to it. If I'm connected to it, then I have the potential to manifest what I'm connected to. That can work both ways, good and bad, right? But in the connection we have to the Father, and the connection then that we consequently achieve with one another, because unity has to be both horizontally and vertically, where there's not any division on any level, because it's in that connection that the flow of God comes. That's why the kingdom of God is a kingdom of relationships. It's all about what we cultivate in relationships that determines what we become. Because we don't become something greater than those that we're associated with if we're part of the body of Christ. The scripture tells us that when one member of the body is exalted, then we're all exalted. When one member is brought down, we're all brought down. So we're tied together in spirit. Now, developing that level of relationship is always the challenge, because relationships take commitment. You just don't step into a relationship and expect all of a sudden to be fully mature in it. Sure, it has the beginnings of everything you need, and the completion of all that you need to have is based in what the one that made covenant with you has declared over you. But the greatness of relationship is built as covenant is mutual, and there's a mutual contribution to that covenant. You have a covenant in the center. You have a covenant relationship with God. And we know that on his part, he's already contributed everything to that covenant that we need. We're complete in Christ. Everything that God has wanted to give humanity has been given to us through Christ. It's 100%. He's all in. But in order for that covenant to really become effective or powerful in our life, then we've got to be equally responsive to the covenant. See, it's the response of both parties that creates the power of unity and oneness. Because when Christ came as a mediator, the mediator is the one that brings both sides together. Not only did he come to reveal to the world who the Father is and the heart of the Father, but he came to cause who the Father is and the heart of the Father to become part of who we are, so that we could receive an impartation of that nature. Because Christ himself was the divine nature of the Father. He was the perfect of the Father. And that mediation that took place, that of the division that used to be there between us and the Father. You see, when you came this morning, you came with an attitude of one or another attitude. You either felt totally connected, totally one, totally involved, totally in the juice, or you felt removed from it. and that you really weren't quite in tune with what God was doing. You see, this is where the lie comes in, because the lie would tell you that when you come together like this in this environment and you say, well, I'm just having a real struggle this morning, that's the lie. That's the lie, for you to accept that you're having a struggle. The lie is for you to come in and think something that you're not doing right is keeping you from the fellowship of covenant between the Father and between my brethren. That's the lie. The lie is that you are separated, because you are not separated. In God's eyes, there's no separation. The Lord doesn't view you as separated from Him. He views you as one with Him. So when He looks upon you, He looks upon you with favor. Everybody say amen for that. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the favor of God. So the issue is never with Him and the problem that you have. The issue then must be with you and your perception of who you are. God doesn't have issues with you. All those issues were taken care of on the cross. And when He died on the cross, He made a complete provision for every issue that you have. He's a God of complete provision for you at that point. Nothing's lacking. There's nothing that He ever has to do again in order for you to have it. It's simply a matter of you lining up in agreement with that covenant that causes it to work for you. So when we say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we're not saying that with some deceptive thing that thinks, well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but look at my life. No, don't look at your life. Look at His. Because if you look at your life, you'll never be what you think you should be other than what you think you are. When you look at your life from a subjective position, you'll never have what it takes to be what Christ said you're to be and what you are. I cannot measure up to that expectation. And the more I try to measure up to that expectation of what I think He wants me to be, the more I fail. All my righteousness is like filthy rags. In other words, I don't have any righteousness I can bring to the table that will pass the muster. I don't have any virtue or any morality that comes before God and says, look, God, because of my morals, because of my virtue, because of my nature, because I'm good looking and all this, that doesn't mean that I measure up to God. I can't measure up to God comparing myself to Him. There's no comparison. So I don't compare it with Him. I simply mirror Him. I look into Him and I become transformed into what He's like. And when I'm looking to the Lord in that transformative period, then all I can be is like Him. There's no other way for me to be anything else. How in the world could you be anything else if you're looking and then the reflection of what you're looking at shines forth from you? That becomes what others see in you. When you look at me, I don't want you to see me. I want you to see the reflection of who I'm looking at right now. His reflection comes forth off of all of us. So we become one great big mirror in the house of God. We're all walking around with mirrors. You ever been in one of the mirror houses at the horror house? And you look and you say, oh, there he is, and that's not really him. That's a mirror. But see, you get so many mirrors in there, pretty soon the mirror becomes so powerful because you cannot tell the difference. See, he's so powerful, what he shines on us, that we can't distinguish the different forms. That's not the message this morning. That's just a prelude. Okay. Everybody say the prelude. Because what I'm talking about this morning is this union that creates the fullness of joy in your life. Perfected in unity, revealed in love, expressed in joy. Joy becomes the expression of the communion that's taking place between you and Him. The excitement that we get, the joy that we get, is not because there's some superficial input or stimuli to our life that creates it. When you go ride a ride at the amusement park, have you ever seen the people that ride the roller coasters and they, for some reason, they put their hands up in the air before they come down each hill? Ah, everybody do that. Ah, they'll do it again. Well, that's a very short-lived joy. In fact, oftentimes that joy turns to fright. But the joy of the Lord is not based upon the stimuli of man. It's based upon the presence of the Lord. And, you know, in the book of Acts, it says, chapter 3, I believe, it says that when we repent, or when we turn our mind away from where we were and we turn our mind unto Him, then there'll become a season of refreshing from the Lord. It's amazing how fast you can move out of this oppressive position that you may find yourself in and right into a soaking of presence. The presence that comes from the Lord, the parousia of God. See, we're in the hour of great opportunity in the spirit realm. The opportunity we have now is never before, that I believe, in the history of mankind, has there been a more open heaven than what we're living in, where that all of us can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. All of us can come and have access right into the realm where the presence of God is. And in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Wow. To be able to just step in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, from a place where it seems oppressive and destructive and hopeless, and to step right into the glory of God, and joy comes. Unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Kingdom of God is righteousness meat. Not righteousness and meat. Righteousness and peace. See, it's already past the 12 o'clock hour. Feed me, baby. Feed me. Show me the beef. Show me the beef. How many remember that old commercial? The old lady would get up and say, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Show me the beef." It was Wendy's trying to tell us that other places didn't have the beef like McDonald's. But Wendy's had the true stuff. The big, juicy patty of meat that smells so good. There's nothing that smells better than a great hamburger before you eat it. But please don't eat it before you come to church, because nothing smells worse than someone that's had a hamburger with onions before they come to church. Bring the pre-smell, not the after-smell, with you. How many are hungry this morning? Show me the meat. So the kingdom of God is ribs and brisket, sausage, smothered in beans and potato salad. No, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. So when you're in the Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy is yours. You know, in Psalms 126, we call these the Psalms of Ascent, because the children of Israel were coming out of Babylon. They'd been in captivity there. And in that captivity in Babylon, the children of Israel had learned to walk in the system of Babylon and be incorporated by it, and found themselves under a great oppression, and they didn't even know it. You know, most people that are in the darkness don't realize how dark it really is over there until the light is turned on. When you turn on the light, you say, "Oh my God, I've been living in the land of darkness. the prophetic word began to come to the children of Israel that were captured in Babylon, saying, come out of her. And as they began to come out of Israel, in Psalms 120 through 134, we call the Psalms of Ascent. There's 15 different steps they were making. And the closer they got to being restored back to where the place was, where the temple would be rebuilt, the more revelation began to flow to them of who they were in Christ. See, revelation comes and can overwhelm you, but oftentimes revelation comes progressively to you because God takes you step by step back to a place of fullness, or into a place of fullness where you actually belonged all along. So if it's too much for you, eating all these ribs at one time and is choking you up, just take a little bite. Because a little bite is very enlightening. And how many know when you just take a little bite of something really good, it's very satisfying. But it only whets your appetite to say, I want to have one of those places where it's all you can eat. A lot of churches, they give you a little bite, but then you go say, hey, I'm still hungry. Too bad. That's all you get here. You know, you need to find one of them buffet palaces like this is, where you can keep coming back to the line all that you want and just say, fill it up, fill it up, fill it up. And you just keep drinking, you just keep eating until you're saturated with everything that you need in God. So we serve them big portions. I mean, I'm from a place where they didn't serve you little portions. You'd slap them upside the head. Don't give me no little portion. Give me the whole thing. I mean, I don't want two ribs. I want six. I don't want two little pieces of brisket. I want a plate full of brisket. I don't want two enchiladas. I want three enchiladas, and I want them stuffed full. I don't want just a little bit of religion so I can just feel a little bit better about myself than I felt when I came in. No, I want to get something in me that rocks my world. I want some glory that'll come and just knock me off dead center, take me out of this place of dull thinking and unbelief, and thrust me right into the land of promise where there's land that's flowing with milk and honey all around me. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, hallelujah. What are you saying? Okay, I got it now. Now I'm going to become a biblical professor. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, verse 1 of chapter 126, appear. You knew I still had it. We were like those who dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we are so glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continues to go forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Your midnight cry is over. Your sorrow is over. Your weeping is over. I've wept enough for all of you. You don't have to weep. I was your weeping prophet. I was your sowing in tears guy. So I'm telling you, the midnight hour is over. It's a breaking of a new day. It's a dawning of a kingdom. It's a time of rejoicing because we know that we're right on track to restore what God said we're going to restore upon the earth. Those walls that have been torn down, we're going to repair the breaches that have been torn down. We're going to rebuild the cities that have been destroyed. The word said that we're free indeed, New Testament. Everybody say, I'm free indeed. Don't be entangled in the yoke of bondage if you're free indeed. By love, serve one another. And you look at Isaiah chapter 51. I love the book of Isaiah because it's a prophetic insight into the kingdom of God. Pointing about what it's going to be like, the atmosphere of the kingdom. See, we're not creating an atmosphere of the church. It's called an atmosphere of the kingdom. We've crossed out of the days of where we're just limited by what church was. The walls of the church no longer influence our position in God because they simply served us to deliver us into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, to where now we can cry out together as a people, Abba, Father, knowing that the presence of the Father is here now upon the earth again, restored to the people of God. Isaiah 51, verse 10, and are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over, so the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and they'll come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Everybody do like this, say, bye-bye, sorrow and sighing. You need to go back and listen. In September, I brought a message called Explosive Joy. This is a sister message to that. Because we're in the time where God is ready to explode a joy upon the earth. A joy that cannot be contained. Believe me, they'll try to contain it when it happens. The religious spirit hates the spirit of joy. Because the only thing that can maintain a religious order is the spirit of sorrow. Without sorrow and without condemnation, there can be no religion. Religion's based upon the insignificant and the insufficient ability of man to achieve anything with God. That's all religion is. It's a system that holds people together in its own bondage. And it perpetuates a perpetual defeat. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom without walls. And when it manifests upon the earth, it blows to smithereens the walls of limitation. And what man has established as a limitation, God said, there'll be no limitation in my kingdom. There'll be no limitation on who you are and what you can be, what you can do. You are the sons of the living God. Start thinking right and you'll start acting right. Start believing right and you'll start doing right. I don't care what you were. It don't make any difference. This is what you are. Well, I know who you are. I don't care what you think about who I am. I know what he thinks about who I am. And that's what makes me happy. It makes me happy. It makes me thrilled today to know that there's an unlimited God with an omnipotent mind that's living in me. And wants to express himself, reveal himself to the world through joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's quit trying to define it as something else other than that. It's not religion, theology, and doctrine. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's an attribute of who you are in your heart and your spirit. That's the kingdom. Well, Jesus said, I am the kingdom. If you look at me, you'll see the kingdom. He wasn't wearing any robes. He wasn't meeting any synagogue. He wasn't adhering to any man's condition of what condition they thought he ought to be in. Reminds me of an old song, A Condition of the Condition. How's that go? I can't remember. I like that song. That floats my boat. That's back in the days when you go, oh, listen to the condition of the condition. What condition am I in? I don't know. What do you know what kind of condition I'm in? No, I don't know. How about you? Do you know what kind of condition I'm in? No. I know I'm in a good condition. See, religion is always trying to find someone else to tell you what you're like and what you are. But you know, in the Lord, no one has to tell me that. I just am that. But even though y'all can tell me, it makes me feel good. Have you ever been to goodlookingpastor.com? No, I gave that one up. Mahesh still has his, goodlookingevangelist.com. But I gave up the goodlookingpastor.com. No one ever went there. Zero hits. Put it on Facebook and it all has thumbs down. You know, some people get depressed over Facebook. Because someone doesn't like what they comment on. Who cares? But just make sure you post something nice on mine. Psalms 52 verse 8 says, your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. It's an amazing thing. There's a Zion coming to the earth. What's a Zion? Say, ooh, there's a Zion coming. It's a new Jerusalem. It's a mountain of the Lord coming to the earth. Zion. We're going to dwell eye to eye when the Lord breaks back Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people and has redeemed Jerusalem. And the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Isaiah 55, verse 12. It's almost sinful what I feel this morning up here. I feel too good. I mean, I could just preach you guys silly. I could preach so long this morning that you'd be falling over your chair saying, my God, when is this going to get over with? That's how good I feel. Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Everybody say hallelujah. Woo, clap your hands, oh you people. Shout aloud with the voice of triumph. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Woo! So there's a progressive increase of joy as we are restored. The revelation of the kingdom is a revelation of restoration. It's a revelation of reformation. And as the kingdom of God is revealed to us, it not only reforms us, it restores us. And the greater the revelation, the greater the reformation, the greater the restoration, means the greater the separation. Everybody follow me. The greater the reformation and the greater the restoration means the greater the separation and what we used to be. Because the further we get out of Babylon, the further removed we are from it, and the closer we come to Zion, the beautiful city of our God. I'm tiptoeing through the tulips. The closer we get to Zion, the beautiful city of our God, pretty soon we can't even remember what Babylon looked like, smelt like, acted like. We're so removed from it. We're so separated from it. It's the same, the thing that what when Christ came through the cross came like C4 explosives and blew up everything that we were. The cross became a destructive force to the old nature. Pow! You're dead. Woo! I'm dead. Yeah. Pow! You're dead. And I can't even remember what it was like to be like that other guy. Some of you try to keep remembering it though. Keep dragging that thing up. It's terrible to go out fishing for a dead body. I mean, Think about this. My dead body's been in that dead place for 40-something years. Every time I go try to drag that thing back up out of the grave, man, it gets stinking worse than every year. That thing is stinking bad. Just leave it in the grave over there where it belongs. It stinks. So every time you bring up that old anger, it stinks. You bring up that old greed, it stinks. You bring up that old jealousy, it stinks. You bring up all that old stuff, the flesh. There's so many things we could read about the flesh in this Bible and describe it that it would make a hog sick. And that's pretty bad. Some of you city folks know what I'm talking about. So don't bring that stuff up. Leave it in the grave where it belongs. Quit fishing for the dead stuff. And start looking for the live stuff that comes down from heaven. Woo! Hallelujah. I love this stuff. My goodness. But I'm headed home with this now. I really am. At least I would overdo it in one service. If I did it, if I told you everything I knew in one service, you wouldn't pay to come back for the next one, would you? I know sometimes I've preached and people are wanting, they line up back there and said, "Hey, I put that offering in this morning. Can I get a refund?" No. That's your old stuff. Don't pull it back out. Leave the seed sown where it was planted. Jeremiah said, "The word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." But Jeremiah, the reason why he was so thrilled was because he was a prophet that could hear God speak. There's something about hearing God that liberates you into joy. One word from God can change your life. One thing that God says to you will change and utterly put your life on a course that you never dreamed that you could be on. To hear God speak one affirmation to you, that's why it's so important that when we prophesy to one another, that we build one another up in the Holy Spirit. Because I can speak to you, Paul, one word from me that God speaks through me can change your life. Amen. So I'm going to do that this morning. Paul, stand up. I proclaim to you, Paul Baker. Is that your name, sir? I declaim unto thee, Paul Baker, that the best days for you are ahead of you. I proclaim that the old thing that you used to know will no longer live, and all the new thing that God has spoken over you shall thrive. That just when you thought you were getting too old to do the cut the mustard, the Lord said, "You're going to do a lot of mustard cutting in the days ahead. And I'm going to restore your youth. I'm going to bring back those things that were lost. Now they're going to be brought forth in you a brand new." It'll be a brand new season in your life. It'll be like going to Vegas and all the lights will be coming on at once. And you'll say, "My God, look at the lights around me. Look at the future that is in my heart." Hallelujah. God's going to do something great and mighty for you, Paul Baker. And even for that wife you call Deborah. It will happen for both of you in the days ahead. Amen. Okay. So we're prophesying and releasing to one another a destiny of a future. Because, see, not that Paul doesn't already have all that. It's just that we need to remind ourselves of really who we are. Remind ourselves that even though we've had setbacks, even though we've had loss, even though we've had dreams that have fell by the wayside and that have been buried and died, even though we've had everything come against us that a man could have come against him, or a woman, even though all that stuff looks bad, God is still on your side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? What charge can be brought against the elect of God? Can anyone condemn that which God has ordained? No. Woo, I told you I'm having too much fun this morning. Because if you have a heart to hear what God says, and that heart becomes a heart of abundance. It becomes a fertile breeding ground where God then can abundantly, supernaturally create something out of that individual's life that can transform the world. What happens here, what starts here in you will reach the world with transformation. You know, Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had that. She said, Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And she walked in great joy, didn't she? She was just, something very significant happened through that little lady, right? Do you think it was kind of significant what happened through Mary? A little 16, 17-year-old girl. Oh, she just brought forth the Savior of the world. My goodness. Guess what? Same thing wants to happen in you. God wants to bring forth the Savior of the world through you. He wants to manifest through you the Word, the same Word that dwelt and became flesh and dwelt among us, that was manifested and released to the earth through Jesus Christ. He became the light of the world. Hallelujah. He said that same Word is going to dwell in you, and you're going to become a light of the world yourself. You're going to become the salt of the earth through the revelation that God gives you of the Word that's in your heart. When the Word of God is in your heart, when you open your heart, you'll be amazed to find how much truth will come out of you. It'll become like rivers of living water that just flow out of you. Everybody put your hand on your belly. Said, I'm ready for the flow. I'm ready for flow, God. I'm ready to sprout. I'm ready to spout. I'm ready to reveal to the earth your glory. Woo, when you get the Word of God hidden in your heart, then you'll be like the disciples says, boy, we can't contain this thing. It's an uncontainable thing that's happening within us. The early church, the high priest and commanded the apostles to not speak in the name of Jesus. But it was so much in their heart, they couldn't keep quiet. See, the enemy's always telling you every day, you wake up and you think, man, I'm just, it's another day of defeat. It's another day of the grind. It's another day of the same old, same old. The enemy's trying to tell you that. And you just say back to the enemy, you cannot keep me quiet. You cannot hold me down. I know who I am. I'm not going to listen to your filthy lie any longer. Get that stinking fishing pole away from me. I'm not fishing up any of that dead stuff I used to be. Today I'm a brand new man in Christ Jesus. I've been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Woo! One more scripture, then I'm through. And let's all get out of here and go eat something good. Mmm. Yummy, yummy, yummy. How many feel like you've been eating something this morning? John chapter 7. Hallelujah. I know this reminds you of the old country preacher used to have and stuff, but I can't help it. On the last day, chapter 7, verse 7, 37, put it on the board. In the name of Jesus, I command thee, John 7, 37, I command you to appear right my heart, my face building. Right, John 7, 37, I command you to appear right. Oh, well, God. You're not going to get a bonus this week, Will. Okay. Right now. Let's all read this together with intensity. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoa. Verse 38. Let's all read this together. He who believes in me, Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Woo! That's the red letter edition. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Wow. What do you think about that? See, when we drank, Lord, of you, we drank of you this morning. We drank of your abundance, your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We drank of your provision. We drank of your thoughts, your words, and all that you've spoken of us. We drank of our union with you. And so out of our bellies can flow rivers of living water. We become an overflowing, babbling brook to the world around us, to where they say, shut up. We don't want to hear any more of that positive affirmation. That's too much for us. Don't tell us any more about how we're forgiven. We're more happy to be condemned. Forget the grace message. Give us some condemnation in hell. That's what we really want. Don't you get enough hell at home? Why do you want more at church? Preacher, you're not preaching the whole Bible. You should be preaching more on hell and judgment and condemnation. You got to tell us how much we're sinners, because if you don't tell us how sinful we are, how in the hell can we ever repent? If you need to be reminded of how sinful you are so you can repent, you're really in trouble. I have no interest in finding out how sinful you are. I just want to see how wonderful you are when you repent. How do you repent? What does this say? How do you actually repent? You change your position from this saying, I just believe that I'm a worm. You change, I believe that I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I just believe that I don't know if I can ever make it, dude, because I just know there's nothing that dwells in me. Oh, I thank God I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I have the mind of Christ. Oh, my mind is so afflicted. I'm so depressed because I don't think I can get out of this mess that I'm in. Oh, I thank you, Lord, you've lifted me up to heavenly places and you've caused me to reign and rule with you. Hallelujah. That's repentance. Repentance isn't saying, oh my God, I can never get out of this. Repentance say, he has already brought me out of this. You turn to the Lord. To repent, you turn to the Lord. Woof. Yeah, but when are we going to bring back them whaling beaches? If we just had some whaling beaches, we could all make it. All a whaling beach is a hog trough turned upside down. I'm going to wail myself silly. If I could just wail through this. I mean, I'm nothing against it. I mean, they used to have them whaling me. They'd go and they'd wail for days. And then come back the next day. And well, then say, how long you been wailing, brother? I've been wailing for a month. No, I'm still trying to speak in tongues. Kika, oh, come on. Just stand up and speak in tongues. No, I got to wail through it. I got to travail. I got to travail until I break through to the glory. Come on, I'm already in the glory, brother. I'll take you right on in there. Man, I'm offending some of you people. I'm offending myself. That was just for the live stream audience, by the way. They needed some more activity. I've gone too long. 41 minutes of joy. I can't hardly handle it anymore. How many here this morning would like to wail through something? I mean, really, we're a seeker-friendly church. So if you really want to be a wailer, then we'll set up a wailing room for you. Because we want to make sure that you're not offended by not having one. We wouldn't want to lose you as a precious member. Some of you young people don't even want to talk about it. Y'all never even been in a church with a wailing bench, have you? You hadn't even lived yet. You didn't travail to tarry before the Lord until you broke through? Did you tarry, my sister? Did you break through? Did you speak it in tongues yet? Let me hear you say it.
Shaka baka.
Oh, yeah. There you got it. Shaka baka. Shaka baka baka. You got that tongues on you still? Release that tongues. Come on now. You got it Friday night, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, you been doing it since then? You don't have to travail for it. Just release it. Come on now. Come on. Release it. Shika la mose kamata. Mashiko. There you go. He got it. That was a good wailing. Good wailing there you got. How many love the joy? Wow. Man. Stand up. I want those laughers. Y'all come on down here to the front. I want you to laugh in the front. All them laughers come to the front. Pick them up and carry them. Let's get them laughers down here at the front. Lay her down right there. Now these are the example. These are the examples to the body of Christ. The Lord said, "Be like, imitate those that have of the faith. Follow after them." Whoa! 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 Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. I'm a little wineskin. Man, I had fun today. Oh, woo. Ron, I'm glad all your friends came to visit us today. I was a little concerned there for a while that we weren't going to live up to our reputation.